It's time for the Observation Deck with the great Gordo. And it's brought to us by Tylock Nasser Vision and Generator Supercenter. Here's Gordon Keith.
You guys talking? Okay, I'm not going to be here all day today. Hey, Mike brought up a very sensitive topic over the commercial break. And I don't know if I can really do this segment because I'm so emotional right now. But he brought up the Outfield and complimented them on their song called Your Love, which is probably their biggest hit.
Great song.
Starts off with a very iconic line, Josie's on a vacation far away. Great opening line. Great name to add in there.
Great take.
Think about how different it would have been if it was Lisa or Leslie or any other two-syllable name. Yeah, Josie.
Jim.
Kind of an unusual name.
Bork.
Mork is on a vacation far away.
Lawrence.
In my defense, I heard this song yesterday on the radio. That's the reason I brought it up. I was not trying to make Gordon sad, but this seems to really have thrown him for a loop.
I'm it not has. Sure he can we continue will now on the talk about the outfield for the next three hours.
And
Josie's on a vacation far away. Meh. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
And here comes John Spinks with the harmonies.
That may be the best 20 seconds to start a song in the history of music.
Just guitar. And
just and the vocals are so good. The lyrics are good. It's just that's a great hook to a
song.
We
used to call that a hook in the business. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. But
and then Mike
strong.
Asked me a question. What'd you ask, Mike?
Is it bad that I've forgotten already? What
was
the
question? He said, I wonder if that guy could even talk anymore after singing that high for so long.
I didn't use that tone of voice. Number one.
The answer is no, he cannot talk anymore because he has passed away due to cancer.
Well, I always wonder about guys like that. And you know, Steve Perry, whom I love.
He's still alive.
No, I know
like
he is,
anymore.
But
he's lost his
there's
voice.
There's no way their voices can handle
he
that.
Sounds like Robert Kennedy Jr.
All right, dude.
Whoa.
Taking shots at two different people in one comment.
So his family hasn't been through enough, apparently, for George.
Yeah, anyway.
But anywho.
We're just doing a vocal comparison. That's all I was talking about.
You're telling me the gentleman from the outfield is no longer...
Yeah, he's no longer with us. Actually, Tony Lewis, who is the bass player and lead singer of the outfield, he passed away a few years ago. I believe he had a heart attack. It wasn't cancer. John Spinks, the primary songwriter and guitarist who wrote all their songs, he passed away a few years before that from cancer.
Man.
And they were both in studio with us and performed in studio with us.
How did I miss that?
That was a long time ago.
It was probably 2002. No, probably 1999 or so.
It was in the 90s, yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, they came through town. They were playing the Bronco Bowl, I believe.
Yeah.
And they came up to the studio, and they didn't have instruments because they were still all loaded up or being taken over to the performance venue. And so I ran back to my apartment and got my bass and my guitar. Okay. We had a drum set that was already set up in the live room at the old ticket studios.
Yeah, the old live room.
And they performed for us there in the ticket live room. It was the greatest moment of my life, looking up and seeing John Spinks playing my Stratocaster and Tony Lewis on my Ibanez Axstar.
Does that audio exist?
It does. I still got the videotape of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can you play that?
We need to bring that back so we can hear him do his Donald Duck impersonation.
It was a frustrating moment for me because the outfield was one of my favorite bands when I was young. And always wanted to interview them. And then when I interviewed Tony Lewis, the lead singer, he was determined to speak in Donald Duck's voice the entire interview.
Quack.
Couldn't get an answer out of it.
You deserve someone else not taking something
right.
seriously,
right.
Something that means so much to you and
that's
them
right,
trivializing
Mike.
It. I love that.
It's a little defeating there on that front, but okay. We made it through it.
So you mentioned that being one of their hits. I'm struggling to think of another charting, if
okay.
I can use that phrase,
look
record
up
that they may have had.
All the Love. Go with All the Love. This is another one that, and every song is like an E in that first album, that Play Deep album.
Yeah, they sounded a lot alike.
Yeah, it sounded like they all recorded them in the same day.
All the love in the world.
All the Love by The Outfield.
Like that.
This was probably my favorite one on the album.
Great song. Then another great beginning.
It is. Oh, yeah, I know this. That's nice.
This takes me back to riding around in the Ford Fairmont, distraught about something.
6:23
Some girl,
on a Friday morning.
Probably. Or a bad golf round or something. Just turn out the light and sleep
here all alone. Listening to this on AM back in the day, man.
Oh, yeah. How did they sound in concert trying to duplicate those harmonies?
Pretty good. Obviously not as lush. They only had two guys who sang up on stage.
Right.
That is such a great vocal line.
How'd they sound in the ticket studios that morning? Did he sound okay?
From what I remember, it was great.
Well, singing in Donald Duck's voice, these songs don't sound as good. Also, Say It Isn't So. Say It Isn't So is probably their second biggest hit.
I know that song.
These were all on the same record, too.
Yes, all on the same record. All on the same side of the record, I believe, the ones we're hearing right now. Say It Isn't So started the album. But a very iconic opening riff.
Tell me I'm the only one.
Are you, Gordon, able to play those riffs on your Stratocaster?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're not very difficult.
Don't get defensive about it. I'm just asking.
Yeah, geez.
All right, here's Say It Isn't So.
I can't believe.
I know. They're all the same.
We'll hire George. Let's do it. You can do it. There we go.
Electronic snare sound.
I can't go. Great harmonies. I told you, we're going to talk about The Outfield now for 3 hours straight.
Obviously.
And they were great.
Caller 10 wins the free tickets to The Outfield.
Hey, they're coming to town.
Sorry, they're not available to play anymore.
They're going to be at Kinnick Stadium.
They have passed away. They were from London's East End. We're East Enders. From humble beginnings. But I think they were much more popular over here in the U.S. than they were in their home country. Yes. And one of their songs, Winning It All, I think, was associated with the Olympics or something, got played a lot with the Olympics.
Gosh, I don't know if I remember that one.
Yeah, that's The Outfield. Why are we talking about the Outfield? Oh, because Mike was scoreboarding the lead singer of The Outfield because Mike is still bipedal and on the earth. So
didn't know he had passed. Had heard the song on the radio yesterday.
Very tough one.
Was wondering
for
if
me.
His voice was struggling because of it.
The other thing is Tony Lewis.
My condolences to his family.
The lead singer was up here and he was wearing a jester hat. It was like a 2-foot-tall jester hat with stuff hanging off of it.
Talking like Donald Duck.
Talking like Donald Duck. It was a very odd experience. All right. The sporting event I won't participate in. Mike, I know you're a big runner.
Used to be, Gordon.
He's a walker now.
Only able to walk now. Thanks, though. Appreciate it. Obviously, the 60-pound weight gain is your first clue there. I knew that's what you were thinking. Back to you.
So you're saying that affected your times?
A little bit of splits.
Poking my own eyes out as I was running was difficult as well.
Okay. He does his hands as if his mammaries are hitting himself in the eye. Well, this guy ran a marathon, an unusual marathon that happens in Sweden. And he wrote a story about it, and I was reading his stories. It's a race that goes through a Swedish zinc mine that is 1,120 meters below sea level, underground, in the earth, and people from all over the world, 18 different countries, showed up, signed up for this challenge in the Garpenberg mine. And you have to, the tunnels had to be pumped with fresh air for them to even have oxygen down there that low.
No.
It's a narrow track where you can hardly pass people.
No.
And you have to run with a minor light on your head in order to see in front of you. You can only see just a few feet in front of you. And he was saying he was thinking that it was going to be, you know, kind of cold down there in all that rock underground. But he said it was stifling heat. But the problem, even more than the heat, was the humidity. It was 72% humidity down there. So you just felt like you could never cool off and you couldn't breathe.
That's what got me at Longhorn Caverns. Just the air was so heavy.
You ran a marathon down there.
No, I just went on the little tour down there and almost didn't make it.
You're riding in a mine cart?
No, we were just walking.
Are you claustrophobic by nature, though?
I've found that I am in my later years, the last 20 years or so. And that was really what started it. So I thought it's going to be so cool. We're going to walk down, and I could not wait to get out of there. I almost had a panic attack.
Yeah, I'm wondering if some of these runners panicked. You know, the horrible sounds coming from that mine as the realization is hitting them that the humidity is just unbearable.
The rocks groaning and.
Oh God! Oh,
oh God! Oh, oh, where's my pistol?
Ah! My pistol?
No, Bud. No,
no. Okay. Who brought it up first?
I can't believe it.
He's brought up the drop.
You brought up two of Gordo's favorite things in less than 10 minutes.
Oh, he talked about breast milk?
Well, we ain't got there yet.
Oh.
We've talked outfield and Bud Dwyer.
Oh, okay, there's nobody who on earth, and that's their two favorite things.
Well, that's what I always thought, too.
It's just a weird claim. But yeah, this runner was saying he was freaking out because he's running along there. He can't see anything. He can't breathe. And he's realizing there's over 1,000 feet of rock above his head bearing down on him.
And how long are you underneath the earth for?
Like 25 years or something. I don't know.
I'll read the story later.
No.
Depends how fast you're running.
I'm trying to get the answer for you now.
Guy maybe should have thought of that before he went down there.
Vice President Lyndon Johnson.
There's number three.
See? Yeah, I made that reference. You're there. That's really updated.
I didn't say that.
We're going to count that as the third time this month that he has mentioned.
And Walter for the record, Cronkite, it was more like
some 45 more.
President Lyndon Johnson.
He's the one who makes fun of Walter Cronkite showing emotion.
It might have been the most iconic moment in the history of broadcast news, and nobody could have handled it better in the circumstances, obviously. But.
Couldn't Cronkite have gotten some glasses that were chiseled down a little bit? Those are the ridiculous...
That's the way they made them back in 1963.
The arms of those glasses were like branches of a tree.
It's the way we rolled back then.
Had the Buddy Hollies on there, yeah.
What if they strapped a Stratocaster to him, too, while he was doing the news? To get the full Buddy Holly look, you know?
And he went into every day or something?
This one goes out to former President Kennedy. If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue. But Peggy Sue, oh, I love you. I need you, Peggy Sue.
All right,
I never thought I'd hear Mike Walter Cronkite doing Buddy Holly.
Hey, did you know,
Mommy?
Did you know I wore Buddy Holly's death watch?
Where was that? Heritage?
It was, remember, he's here at the Ticket Studios when we were at our old studios, but they were auctioning it off. His estate was, I believe, and it was the watch he was wearing in the plane crash on his body.
You know where his last show was?
Somewhere in Iowa.
The Surf Ballroom, Clear Lake, Iowa.
Yeah.
I worked right next door at 1490 KRIB. Back to you, Gordon.
So you remember that fateful day.
It was before.
It was like
he was
a year
DJ'd.
Old, but I wasn't quite in radio then.
It's called The Day the Music Died. So, if you'll switch on my twin reverb, I'm going to give you a little rendition.
So weird.
I'm not getting a signal. Hold on a second. Hold on. Pedalboards, jacked up. These patch cables.
Technology you could not possibly know about at that point.
Imagine Walter Cronkite working a Wawa up there.
Quarter inch is just giving him nothing but...
Anybody got any fader spray?
I'd like to welcome the crickets now to our set.
Anyway,
I was terrible.
Run through zinc.
Yes, running through the zinc mine. And the other thing was, it was a working zinc mine. They were still mining down there while they're running the marathon through there. Yeah, watching these runners go by, reaching out and tripping one every once in a while. Get out of here.
That's a ridiculous race.
Yeah, but would you do it?
No.
Just for the experience, just one time.
No.
Okay, Mike?
The odd thing is, when I used to run out at White Rock, I would always wear a miner's hat. I don't know, just kind of randomly. I thought I was the only one who did that.
Right, you're just... a little Bluetooth speaker strapped to your chest, playing that music.
Bib overalls, no shirt.
Whoa! I'll make it the whole way!
Got a big hook on beard.
Look, there's an eagle.
Wow. Why my chest hurts so much? Whoops.
There's a pain radiating down my left arm.
Oh, no. Oh, he lost Mike. Oh, boy. That, no. See, that was fun right there. I don't care who you are.